Hi, welcome to the last This Week in Channel 9 episode of 2016. I'm Robert Green. Joining me is...
Scott Klein.
And we are in the technologically challenged edition of this. No green screen. Your computer's not working. Mine, of course, is working just perfectly. So I guess I'll drive.
Because you have a 4, I have a 3.
That must be the reason.
That might be
All right. Let's go.
Let's go. All right. So let's get started. So... The two new things with the Cortana Analytics. So recently they released the Cortana Skills Kit and their Cortana Devices SDK. These are two things. You go to the URL, we'll post this. But the Cortana Skills Kit is really aimed at developers who want to reach a growing audience. So it was built by the Cognitive Services Group. But if you want to build things cross-platform, this is really a great way to get started with the Cortana Intelligence Kit type of scenario, right? So I can build for Windows, Android, Xbox, things
cool.
like that, right?
And we read in the news that there's a Cortana-driven speakers coming, so
yep.
Cortana is going to be everywhere.
Yeah. This is, it says 145 million Cortana users. I mean, so that's just, think about everywhere Cortana is, right?
Yep.
So on your Windows, on your phone, on your Surface,
mm-hmm.
where so think about everybody that's using Cortana, and think about, hey, I can easily. So this is a great way to get started with building Cortana apps, right? It's a kind of a skills kit. If you think of the skills, it's things like, you know, the knowledge and search and language. It's kind of a uses a cognitive services type of scenario to allow me to build easy apps.
I want it on my fridge. I want to be able to be at the kitchen table as writing out a grocery list and ask. If we need yogurt or
that'd be awesome.
Do we have milk?
Right. And then order it. Like, hey, you know, off to, you know, some grocery stores, right? Hey, Cortana, do we have any milk?
Yeah.
Nope, you're out. I'll order some. Great. Thank you very much, right?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. And then the Cortana SDK, this is more for, OEMs and ODMs to create new generation smart. So this is where you're going, hey, let me put it on, you know, more of home developer type stuff on my fridge, on my, smart device, thermostat, things like that.
Very cool.
Right. So it's pretty awesome.
So you could use that to be able to detect clapping, so you can turn your lights on and off.
Yeah. So the Cortana Skills Kit is there's a blog in there. If you read about it, it actually allows me to do. Hey, it says leverage bots created with the Cortana Cognitive Services Suite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cortana. And so, it'll, use all those services to do clapping and whatever, all that great stuff. It's kind of fun. We were going through this, I'm like, dude, I seriously need to sign up. So sign up, because I'm like, I'm going to start playing with this, right?
Right on.
It's very cool. All right.
Excellent.
Next one. So this is here's the cognitive services stuff. So there's two new things that they've announced around the cognitive services. So one is the Q&A Maker service. And then the other one is the Bing location. And both of these are actually pretty cool because the Q&A Maker is a REST API that allows you to train artificial intelligence or A things to respond to like a natural conversation. So think about a bots again, right? So let me put this kind of app, these cognitive services, the AI intelligence stuff in my apps,
mm-hmm.
But in a natural language query type of way, right? So I can actually use like, hey, Robert, and just standard language stuff. And then the Bing location control, this is kind of interesting. Works with C# and Node.js, but again, a bot driven. So I can actually build Bing location services into my bot so that the bot knows where I am where things are, things like that, right? And as it says, really easy, just a few lines of code to get it work. I was looking at it when I looked at the blog on this. It's like, dude, this is going to be very easy to set up. But let me build location services into my bots.
Very cool.
Yeah. So a lot of these, I think, are kind of interesting, right? If you think about where AI and bot services are going, right? How can we make it easy for developers to get started with these services with just a few lines of code, right? Because you think about all the cognitive services and the AI and things like that, it's like, man, how can we make it easy to build these intelligent app type of things, right? Make it easy for developers. So they're actually doing a pretty good job, I think.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. The next version of Visual Studio is just around the corner, officially named Visual Studio 2017. We launched the release candidate a few weeks back at Connect. Tons and tons of new features
in there. RC1? Is that RC1? Is Canada 1?
It's just the release candidate. I don't know that it has an actual number on it. It's the release candidate.
Okay.
I think we did away with numbers on release candidates a while back.
Maybe we did. Okay.
But at any rate, at Connect a few weeks back, we announced that, made it available for download. So highly recommend everybody go check it out. There's tons and tons of new features in there around developer productivity and testing tools and DevOps-y type stuff like that and new scenarios, great tooling around .NET Core and whatever.
Yep. Yeah, I had a conversation with Scott Hunter about this. Mm-hmm. He goes, you know, one of the big things is .NET Core integration, which is fantastic.
Right.
And then you and I were talking about this the other day where, Visual Studio 2015 and earlier could take a while to boot up because it's loading all this stuff, right? But with 2017, loads much faster.
Much faster to get started because it does a lot of stuff in the background. Installation, you have this concept of workloads now, so you don't have to install the entire thing. You can install just the workload you're interested in. So I just want to do web, I just want to do mobile JavaScript, or I just want to do
So my install is much faster,
Yeah.
That's cool. I can't, I think I may have to go install that now. I would install it, but I
definitely
will.
Definitely do it.
Yep.
And there's lots of great video content on the Channel 9 site around what's in it.
Yep.
And it's already updated. So we just released this week some updates to RC. You know, we used to, release a beta and then you gotta wait for the next beta. Release an RC and then you gotta wait for RTM.
Yep.
But we're now in a much more agile world where there's updates to the release candidate that have come out. So if you have the release candidate, make sure you go get the updates. Bug fixes, offline help, better tooling for .NET Core and the Docker workload, all kinds of new stuff. So absolutely go and get the update.
I like that. You can now add and remove multiple user interface languages at any time.
Yeah.
Dang. So if I want to do C++, I can add it at any time. I don't have to
Right.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Very nice.
We've also introduced ASP.NET webhooks. So think of webhooks as a pub sub or model for essentially subscribing to events that occur on the web. So this is a way for you to basically be listening for things like a file's been added to Dropbox or commit to GitHub or something like that, or payment's been made with PayPal, et cetera. And you can actually subscribe to those events through your web API and basically be notified when these things happen and then run code in response to those. So it's very, very cool. Seems pretty straightforward to hook up. We've got support now for, it says here, Azure Alerts, Bitbucket, Dropbox, GitHub, a whole bunch of stuff, PayPal, Slack, Trello. Jeez. Very, very cool stuff. So this is, again, eventing at the
something
web. Similar, there's a lot of overlap, some technology overlap and similar scenarios to Azure Functions, which are similar. So
now, are these things that they had to go work with Dropbox to go, hey, we want to hook up webhooks, so do something on your end to allow us to tap into that?
No, I think it's these guys publish or have the way of subscribing. I think it's built into their API. I hope I'm not wrong on that, but I think it takes advantage of the stuff that's out there.
Okay. Yeah, didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I just because
that's okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm either right or wrong. So.
That's right. You have 50-50 chance. All right. Cool.
On the subject of updates to the Visual Studio 2017 RC, I want to call out just a couple specific ones. Updates to the web tools. So including the ability to turn off script debugging for Chrome and Internet Explorer if you want to use the in-browser tools. There's a couple other updates in there, perf, et cetera. So you get the basic updates to Visual Studio 2017, then you can go out and get the web tools updates as well.
Okay.
As well as updates to the .NET Core tooling. So there's been continued simplification of the CS proj file, a lot of work going on in terms of what exactly is the project file. And so there's been additional enhancements to that. Bug fixes, CLI commands for adding and removing project-to-project references. So
quite a bit of work in there.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, again, the upshot of all this is if you're using the RC now, if you've downloaded it and you're playing with it, go get all the updates.
Yeah, okay. Very cool. Okay, this was an interesting one. I had to read this one for a little bit because I'm like, what the heck is this? But it's one of these things is that if you go look at the blog post, what this is the challenge of, you know, we're always setting up, or, you know, a lot of us set up meetings with people that are external to Microsoft, right? So we can't see their calendar. Right? So there was a, hey, when are you available? All these emails going back and forth type of thing. What this is a kind of a same thing as kind of a hook. That uses Cortana, and Cortana does all the work. So basically what you do is, it's called the calendar.help, but when you schedule a meeting, you put Cortana in the CC, and she'll go out and do all the work for you. So it's as simple as adding Cortana to the CC line from your registered email address, and she'll go out and coordinate, say, hey, do all the work for you for scheduling, figuring out all the free time between you and, you know, the person you're trying to schedule a meeting with and things like that, right? And you just tell her, based on Cortana, you just tell her, hey, let's make it a, because it's Cortana, you can talk to it, you can, you know, very easy, but it's Cortana, here's what I want to do, and it will go out and do anything, do everything for you. And it's as simple as just including Cortana in the CC line.
Oh, that's interesting. Right?
So basically, essentially, it's like, you know, bringing AI and collaboration together, right? It's actually kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yep. Microsoft Ventures. So this is if you're not familiar with Microsoft Ventures, this is kind of when we, you know, someone has a Microsoft helps fund kind of startup kind of area. So if you got a good idea, you know, you kind of they'll get some people and Microsoft will go help, you know, these startups. What this is they're now saying if there's a venture out there, a company that's doing a lot of AI stuff. We're investments to help AI companies get started and get off the ground, right? So the reason around this is Microsoft. If you haven't been living in a hole, right? You know that Microsoft has been doing a lot of work around artificial intelligence, you know, with cognitive services and all these kind of things, right? So Microsoft is betting heavy on this stuff, and so what they're doing is that, hey, we're Microsoft Ventures, we're going to invest in companies that are doing AI. So, and they're doing this through Microsoft Ventures, so they're making funds available through Microsoft Ventures to help companies get started with AI. So if you've got, if you've got a great idea around AI, you know, go to the link, get signed up, you know, and they'll reach out to you, right? This is a great way to go, hey, it's good, partnership through OpenAI, but a lot of the things through Microsoft Ventures going, how do we help and drive, it's really around how do we drive the AI stuff, you know, into, the world is an oyster, they say, is that how they say it, right?
Or, yeah.
right, the world is your oyster, you know, there's a lot of stuff around AI, and we've seen that through all these the cognitive services type of things, and smart bots, and all that kind of stuff, so if you've got a great idea, you know, here's how a way to get it, you know, get it off the ground.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. So at our events like Connect, et cetera, we usually like to put together reference applications. And we've done a number of ones in the past, My Driving, and there was a health clinic one. And at the Evolve conference, the reference app was the actual Evolve conference app.
Yep.
So for Connect, we did the latest iteration of our most awesome reference applications. And this one was a bike sharing application. It's a smart bike sharing system. So there's a mobile, there's IoT, there's Azure, there's connected services, there's cognitive services, there's all kinds of fun stuff going on in this. Source code's all available on GitHub, bunch of videos from the Connect show where you can go and actually watch various pieces of the demo, go get all the source code. Dimitri and Erica just did a long review of this on the latest Visual Studio Toolbox episode.
Okay.
And the code's all available. So, you know, if you're looking for a nice end-to-end application of a scenario like this, code's out there. Go get it. Play with it.
So this is all about, you know, this is the demo they did at Connect.
Yes.
And they're making the demo available.
Yep.
All the code and everything.
Yep.
To see how they built it and things like
yep.
that. That's cool. I'm going to have to go look at that.
Yeah. It's very, very cool stuff.
Okay. How to stream Xbox One games. Okay, so, cool. Okay, so Rift, I don't know, I'm not familiar with Rift, but if you're a Rift owner, you can now stream Xbox One library to Rift. through what's called the Xbox One Streaming to Oculus Rift app. So there's a new app that you can download to Xbox that allows you to stream the Xbox One library. Right? So what it allows you to do is, you know, do things like stream games down like Gears of War, Halo 5, all these great things.
Yeah, so it's VR, it's totally immersive. It's totally immersive. You put the headset on and you are in this virtual world.
Yep.
Compare that to something like HoloLens, which is augmented reality.
Oh, so it's Oculus Rift, yeah.
Right, it's the Oculus. It's VR versus AR, which is which is always interesting to kind of get a sense of what you'd prefer. Like in the VR, you're literally in that world.
Yep.
Whereas in the augmented reality, you're here, but it's like another world being kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, laid over what you're doing. So you're not completely cut off from the real world.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. I'd love to see like a side-by-side
comparison.
You know, if you want to do a first shooter game, do I want to be VR or do I want to be AR?
So,
right? Do I want to literally duck under the desk and shoot at somebody, or do I want to duck under a virtual desk and be going like this? With augmented, I can actually feel the desk, and then there's all the people that I'm shooting at. In virtual, right, it's virtual. So it's kind of interesting.
So I remember we had a coworker over here that had an Oculus Rift, now that we mention it.
Yeah.
And he had a game, and we were playing it, and it was, I'm pretty sure it was VR.
Yep.
Right? And that was really real. I mean, it was, you were there. And it, you know, it was a shooting game. So it was like, you would see these bullets coming at me slow, and I'm literally, you know, moving. Yeah. It was very real, and it kind of freaked me out. I had to take them off. Right, it's kind of a very new experience for me. This was interesting. So
yeah,
this is kind of the, hey, now we can use Oculus Rift on the Xbox, right? With different games.
So I think VR will probably win in the gaming space. But it would be interesting to have the ability to do both and then see if you liked one versus the other. I mean, obviously, if you're driving a tank, it's kind of hard to do an augmented reality unless you actually own a tank.
That's right. So. that is very true.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to compare those side by side.
If you're jumping off of buildings, I would probably prefer virtual reality for that than augmented. That. Although, I mean, augmented
unless I have
reality,
a
if you're literally jumping off a building, that'd be like the ultimate experience.
That's true.
Yeah.
Unless you have a hang glider or a parachute or something like that. But I love the ability, hey, download this to your Xbox and start playing, you know, Oculus Rift again, you know, through. That's kind of cool.
Yep. Okay. Somebody put together this project of listing the research papers in the .NET source. So a similar thing was done for Java. So, and we decided we should do the same thing for .NET. So, and I looked at some of these research papers, and they are literally the research papers. They are the thinking that goes behind the features, right? So, you know, think about different levels of understanding. One of the papers in here is on generics, right? Mm-hmm. So you can go to the documentation and learn how to use generics.
Yeah.
But that's just using it, right? Yep. Then you might, you know, I'd like a little bit more in detail on that, on why and how it was put together, you know, some of the next level down. But if you want to go into the mind of the person who designed it while they were designing it,
that's right.
They're fascinating. So this may be like way more depth than you could ever hope for.
This is beyond 500 level, yeah.
But it's really, really cool. I'd start with the one on generics. You know, left-leaning red black trees. If you're a computer scientist, you probably know what that means. I don't have a computer science degree. I'm not really sure what that means. Balancing search trees. I don't know. Maybe I'm glad that somebody thought about it, and I'm glad that somebody has done a good job implementing it. Not 100% sure how much I want to go learn about it, but there are some things in there, like on garbage collection, security, generics that... so you can kind of decide how deep you want to get into this.
If one evening you're extremely, extremely bored, right?
No, it's not. I don't want to. You say that, it makes it sound like these are dull papers.
No, they're not. I'm not saying that. I'm just.
You should go take a look at them, and if you want to really get down and dirty, here's some ways to do it.
Yeah. I have to read one. I mean, because.
It does help. I went to the, you know, like on the .NET, the the GitHub page where you actually have some of the design documents on how the stuff was written. And you actually learn quite a lot. And it does help you use these things to have a better sense of how they were built and why they were built that way.
And the thought process behind it.
Yeah, the thought process, right. So give you an idea of the problems that they're trying to solve and the approach they gave then gives you more insight into how the language feature works and what type of limitations, right? Not only what it does, but what it doesn't do and why it might not do that.
Right, okay.
So it's not at all boring. It's very, very deep,
yep.
Of course.
It's very deep.
If you're into
that, I might have to read it 5, 10, 20 times before I understand it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, cool. All right, someone made an Xbox controller table, and it's awesome.
That might, this right here might be the biggest gap between technical and non-technical that's ever been in this show.
I looked at this and went, that's just cool, right?
I assume it works. Does it?
Well, so
can you actually sit there and I assume you can move those things around? Is
well,
it functional?
Well, but you can't punch, like there's no, you can't hit the buttons or anything like that, right? So I don't know if it's, I didn't read far enough along in there to know if it's if it's functional, right? Because we really care about this show.
that would have required thinking about
exactly.
It.
But you know, I was visiting somebody the other day and they made this other table that it's not doesn't look like an Xbox controller, but you know, my point is that people are really just starting to think about not just standard furniture. Mm-hmm. They built this table that was actually quite functional and looked pretty. You know, and so people are starting going, I just don't want the standard. It's not like I'm going to IKEA and going, I want that. People are actually building their own stuff based on their likes and things like that. So when I saw that, I went, why did I not think of that?
So, you know, if you took like a big window in your house and split it into quarters and put different colored tiles in it, you can make a Windows window and get on channel, get on the show.
guess what we're doing this evening. That'd be awesome. I just looked at that and went,
it's cool.
That is cool,
is
right?
Cool.
But it would be awesome. Like, so what they need to do is you know, because you can cut glass, right? So cut the holes out and, you know, so it's functional, but I think it would be hard playing a game like that because you'd be going, I don't know.
Could be.
That'd be awesome, but geez.
Anyway.
Oh, is this mine as well?
Yes, it is.
This is the Universal Pictures and Graphics. Okay. All right, so I didn't read this one, so we're gonna wing this one. So I just got NASA shares a universe on Pinterest. And, oh, so I guess what they did is they just launched this sucker up into space and they took a bunch of pictures, and now all the pictures they shared on Pinterest and Giphy accounts, right? So I don't know. I'm not a space person, but I do enjoy watching, because we used to live in Florida for a while, and you could see basically where we were at. You could actually, because Florida's really flat, so we were about 4 hours south of Cape Canaveral, but you could still see the takeoff because of, you know, how flat it was, and you know, and if it was a clear day, man, you could see that. So we always enjoyed that, and then I always enjoy the pictures of space, right?
Yeah.
So I will, if I see something on MSN or something like that, you know, because I just read a story the other day, they found this massive black hole or something like that, right? And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool, right? How many other universes are out there?
Yeah.
So the fact that they're actually showing, you know, being able to take, you know, put all these pictures on Pinterest and, you know, other places to share, here's what we're finding, I think that's kind of cool.
Sweet.
Yep.
All right. All right, picks of the week.
Pick
of the week is Xamarin Dev Days Live. Now, Xamarin has done 2 rounds of Dev Days. Dev Days is a day-long training event where you come and learn about Xamarin in the morning, and then in the afternoon, you actually, there's hands-on building of apps.
Yep.
They've done a couple rounds of it. This latest round, they did about like 150 cities worldwide.
Yeah.
And I think it's either ended or it's going to be ending the next couple days. So what they said was, well, we should do one on Channel 9. So a couple days ago,
It was yesterday.
There was the Xamarin Dev Days Live led by my good friend James Montemagno and featuring Malcolm there and Adrian Hall there. And there, of course, is the irrepressible Seth. They all helped out. So you've got session, and then literally the hands-on lab walkthrough, so it's kind of like a virtual hackathon.
Wow.
So if you went to the Xamarin Dev Days and you liked it and you wish that you could go view it again, there it is. If you didn't make it to one of those and you wanted to see, but weren't able to make it to the live thing yesterday, it's all on demand. Yep. This is a great way to get up to speed on Xamarin.
Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember just going to the homepage channel and I'm like, oh, hey, didn't even know what was going on, but that's kind of cool. All right, my pick of the week. So this was actually blogged today, right? SQL Server plus C Sharp, what's new? So what this is there's a whole new, if you go to the blog, there's with all the features and all the great stuff, and there's enhancements that they've done to C Sharp to be able to work with all the new features in SQL Server 2016, right? Mm-hmm. So what I would do is, Andrea Lamb just did a great video, intro video, it's 12 minutes, right? But go to the blog, there's a blog out there, and the links point to a ton of, so if you go to the SQL Server blog, there's a ton of links out there to all the enhancements and features that they have put into C Sharp. Love what they're doing here, and especially I think along what they're going to do with vNext and SQL on mm-hmm. Linux, you know, they're preparing for all of that as well, right? So I think there is, I love the fact that they're kind of keeping up with, here's all this great stuff, let's build, you know, make it easy for developers.
Cool.
Right. Yep. So go read the blog that was just put out today. I saw that and went, that's my pick of the week.
All right.
So very nice.
All right.
Okay.
We made it. I think that this...
And my PC's finally done rebooting.
This was probably one of the five or so best This Week in Channel 9s that you and I have ever done. I'm going to say that.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Given the fact that we got the deck today. And
yeah, one of our best shows ever.
One of our best shows ever. Yep, love it.
It's clearly in the top five.
Top five. Yeah. Yep. And so rate it really well. Hey. Cool. So hey, happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah, it's been a great 2016. Can't wait to see what next year brings us. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. See you back here next year.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.